The scripture is from Matthew chapter 3. The reading begins at verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance." The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. I don't think that I would enjoy a long backpacking trip with John the Baptist. For openers, there's his diet, locust and wild honey. Locust, that's biblical for grasshoppers. Even dipped in honey, that's gross. And his wardrobe, made of camel's hair, no matter what, it had to be smelly. And then to top it all off, there's his message. Fierce, uncompromising, unyielding. He called his listeners a brood of vipers. If I, in all seriousness, called you all a brood of vipers, how many of you would come back next Sunday? In short, John the Baptist was not the sort of guy you would like to propose as a member of your club. But as always, the Bible confounds our expectations and surprises us with the most improbable characters. John, of all people, has been chosen to announce the coming of the Messiah. And to be ready for the Messiah, he cries out, you have to repent of your sins. Greek scholars tell us that the word that John uses here for repentance really means to turn around and face in a new direction. It means that on your own you were going this way, but with the Spirit's promptings, you start going this way. It means that on your own you had this set of priorities, but with the Spirit's promptings, you gain a new set of priorities. John says that we must change and bear fruit that befits repentance. Change. By the way, do you know how many Presbyterians it takes to change a light bulb? Change! According to John the Baptist, you can always tell that somebody has changed and repented by their new behavior. In Luke's version of this same story, common people who repented were to show their signs of repentance by offering their second coat to someone who had no coat. They were to share their food with the hungry. Tax collectors who repented were not to engage in distortion, but to collect only what was owed them. They were to be honest in their business dealings. Soldiers who repented were not to bully people into extortion, but to be honest in their authority. So here is the first clue about what repentance means. It means some sort of action, not some sort of feeling. Most people associate repentance with some sort of feeling. with feeling sorry because they've done something bad, with feeling remorse because they have violated somebody else's life, with feeling guilty because they haven't lived up to a specific standard. You may quote me on this. Repentance has nothing to do with feeling sorry about ourselves or for ourselves. Repentance is not making a list, checking it twice, and trying to figure out when we've been naughty or nice, and telling God how sorry we are for the naughty parts. Are there any Methodists or former Methodists here today? The Methodist service of communion, which I grew up with and which I still love, begins with these words of institution to the Lord's table. Ye who truly and earnestly repent of your sins. I love that, ye. Ye who do truly and earnestly repent of your sins and intend to lead a new life and are in love and charity with your neighbors, following the commandments of God and walking henceforth in God's holy ways, draw near with faith and take this sacrament to your comfort. The Methodists are 100% right. Genuine repentance leads to specific changes in behavior. Living in love and charity with our neighbors, leading a new life, following the commandments of God and walking in God's holy ways. Let me draw three pictures about what repentance might look like in my life and yours. You come back to Phoenix after a trip to a third world country. You've seen how the children play in the streets littered with sewage and garbage. You visit a home where 10 people live in one room. And you come back here to your own home with different eyes. Your own home filled with such lovely, non-essential things. Furniture you never sit on. A closet full of clothes, most of which you never wear. 3 sets of dishes, food enough in the pantry for weeks. You are as rich as Croesus, and you haven't even acknowledged it. You have so much more than you need that suddenly you begin thinking, should I begin to give some of this away? And you think about what Warren Buffett said. By the time I die, I want to give away 99% of my fortune. That's 99% of $40 billion. A second picture of what repentance might look like. You wake up in the middle of the night with a tightness in your chest and a tingling in your arms, and you wonder if this is the big one. And in a flash, the whole world looks different to you. You think about the people who are dear to you and to whom you are dear. You think about the people that you are angry at, and you suddenly decide that life is too short to hold grudges. And you promise yourself with God as your witness that if you are given just a few more years, you will see and be different. A third picture. Repentance is when you have your life all planned out. Your career is moving ahead. You're paying down the mortgage on your home. You've established a daily routine, streamlined for your comfort. Then something that you hadn't planned for jumps right into the middle of your life. An elderly parent or a sick friend or a child suddenly needs you in a way they have never needed you before. All of a sudden, your life looks different to you. One way of living dissolves in front of your eyes, and another way of living appears. And whether you welcome this intrusion or not, you have the strange sensation that this is what God wants you to do, and this is what you must do next. There was a prominent general who traveled to a military base to give a speech. The soldier who met him at the airport was a man named Ralph. After they introduced themselves to each other, they headed off to the parking lot. All the way out to the parking lot, Ralph kept getting diverted. Once to help an older woman get her suitcase off the conveyor belt. A second time to help a young mother who had two small children. A third time to help someone who looked lost. Each time, Ralph would step aside and come back with a big smile on his face, and he and the general would resume their conversation. "Where did you learn to do that?" the general asked him after he had stepped aside for the third time. "Do what? I mean, go and talk to these people." "Oh," Ralph sighed, "I guess it was during the war." And then for the next few minutes, Ralph told the general what life was like for him in Vietnam, how it was his job to clear the minefields, and how he watched one of his friends after the other get blown up right in front of his eyes. "I learned to live between the steps," he told the general. "I never knew whether the next one would be my last. So I learned how to get everything out of the moment between when I pick my foot up and put it down. Every step I took was a whole new world. And I guess I've learned to live that way ever since." In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, crying out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." "The Lord is coming," John cries out to us this morning. "Prepare the way for him. Make your paths straight for him. Clean the house of your heart. Sweep the front steps of your soul." Today, John calls us to repent, to live differently, to live between the steps. And to God our Creator, to Christ our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit our Comforter, be glory and honor, dominion and power, this day and forever. Amen.